Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. Today I am sort of here with a heavy heart because this is probably going to be the last time that I will address you in reading the scripture. But I want to bless you and thank you for the opportunity to participate in your worship of our Heavenly Father. Today's scripture is about the encounter of Philip with the eunuch. The eunuch is reading some scripture and trying to figure it out, and Philip is put there by the Holy Spirit to interpret it for him, just as we are supposed to be available to interpret the scripture for all those that we might encounter. So please listen to the word of God as I read it from Acts 8, 26 through 40. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of the Candake, which means the queen of Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah, the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and the lamb before its shear is silent. So he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with the very passage of scripture and told him the good news of Jesus Christ. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared in Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in the towns until he reached Caesarea. May the Lord bless the reading of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill, and thank you for all your faithfulness in reading the scriptures and many times explaining them before we even got started. Very much appreciated. And what is your date for graduation?
May
20th. May 20th will be...
May 20th,
I should have just asked her right away. And that's one year that you've been, is that right? 1 year, so congratulations on that. Hopefully I'll be there that night. A woman, one day, went to see her divorce lawyer, and in a frantic mode she told him, "I must have a divorce for my husband immediately, right now." The lawyer asked, "Well, do you have any grounds?" She said, "Well, about 5 acres. "I mean, do you have a grudge?" "No, just a carport." Then the lawyer asked her, "Does he beat you up?" Woman replied, "No, I get up every morning before he does." Exasperated by now, the lawyer asked her, demanded, "Madam, why do you want a divorce immediately from your husband?" "Well, I just got to tell you, it is impossible to communicate with that man." That could easily be reversed. How well do we listen? How well do we hear the voice of God speaking to us? Or do we? This text is a call to listen intently to what God is saying to us, whether it's from an angel, whether it's from the Holy Spirit, whether it's from the Scriptures. It's a spectacular story with miracles all through it. God was acting in this scene to make sure what he wanted done got done. But we have to listen. We have to respond. First, God spoke to Philip and told him where to go. Next, there was a pool of water on a dry desert road, right where they needed it and when they needed it. Third, Philip didn't get to rejoice with the new Christian because he was energized. And I always think of Star Trek when I read this, and just like transported to another place after the baptism. But another miracle. How did Philip keep up with the chariot pulled by an animal? Perhaps he had Elijah endurance so he could make a spiritual difference in the lonely man who was traveling on this superhighway of the day from Jerusalem to Egypt. And who is this eunuch? He was probably an interesting fellow who may have been circumcised because he was tired of the loose morals and the many, many gods of the Gentiles, Gentile being anyone who was not Jewish. And he found out that Judaism gave him meaning to life, the one God. He may have attended Jewish synagogues and read Jewish scripture, but we know that he was a God-fearer. We do know that the eunuch was an important and influential man who was a representative of the queen from the present country of what we call Sudan. We know that he was hungry to learn about God and that he had many questions about God and about the scriptures, the Old Testament. Remember, there's no New Testament at this time. When God unites a listening ear, Philip, who heard the angel, and a hungry heart, the eunuch, God is able to do wonderful things, miracles. I see God's voice at least three times in this text. In verse 26, the angel tells Philip where to go. In verse 29, the Spirit says more specifically to Philip, who had his radar on high, who was trying and open to listen to God, what person to speak to, a specific person. And in verse 32 and 35, the Holy Spirit is wooing already touching this eunuch to be open to know the Messiah. How well do we listen to God? Do we hear his voice speaking to us through the Bible? Can we hear his nudges to stop and pray, to sit silent? Are we in tune with the Spirit enough to know when he is impressing something upon us to stop, to go, to turn, to speak up? Do we hear God's voice and the godly advice from fellow Christians? Are we obedient to these directions from God? What gives us dull ears? Why don't we hear as well as we should? Are we hard of hearing? Or is it a combination of many things within our lives? Jesus is looking in your ears today, and he wants you to hear the words asking about what is causing your hearing problem. Why don't you hear God speak to you? Is it because you're too busy and don't take time to listen to his voice? We're very busy people, even when we don't have anything to do. Is it because we're afraid that we will not hear his voice right and we will make a mistake? Is it because you don't really know God, so how can you know his voice to hear his voice? Is it rebellion? You hear him, but you say, no, God, I don't want to do that. I don't want to follow through. You're asking too much of me. Or all the other voices in the world that you hear, from family and friends and society and television, music, everything, is that drowning out the voice of the one who loves you the most and has called you into relationship with him? On this fifth Sunday of Easter, God is speaking to each of us about listening to him, to what he has to say, and letting him match us up with hungry, God-starved hearts. People who do not know God, but need God, and maybe want to, but they just haven't been able to take that step yet. When we listen to his gentle urgings, we'll find that there are many people in the world who know about Jesus, but do not know Jesus on a personal basis. And that's very, very important. How can they, unless someone explains to them, God will use you right where you are to tell others in the world about Jesus, the good news of who Jesus is and what he can do for you and how he can change your life forever. It was the seventh game of the World Series in 1962. The San Francisco Giants had a man on second base, which put him near New York Yankees second baseman Bobby Richardson. And I had a privilege of meeting Bobby Richardson back in my youth when he was playing for the Yankees and playing in those World Series. A good Christian man. When the Yankees decided to change pitchers, Richardson, who was a Christian, saw a very unique opportunity. When the new pitcher was warming up, he walked over to the man on second base and asked him if he knew Jesus as his Savior. When the runner reached the dugout, he asked his teammate Felipe Alou, who was a Christian, "What in the world is going on? You people, even in the seventh game of the World Series," he said to Flippy, "you people are still talking about Jesus." Like Philip, Bobby Richardson heard God's voice and he responded right then. Richardson could have said, "Well, you know, God, this is the World Series. Let's get real about this. I can talk to him after the game, call him, make an appointment, whatever." But right then when he heard the voice, he spoke to the man about Jesus. There's a true story, another one that occurred a few years ago at the University of Southern California. There was a professor of philosophy there who was deeply committed atheist. And as I found this story and I tell it, it sounds so much like the God's Not Dead movie that we watched. And I wonder if it was kind of based on this. Now, the professor's primary goal was for one required class was to spend the entire semester attempting to prove that God does not exist and God cannot exist. His students were always afraid to argue with him because of his logic and him being the professor and, you know, a lowly student. For 20 years, he taught the class and no one ever had the courage to speak up. Some had argued in class at times a little bit, but no one had ever really challenged him. At the end of every semester, on the last day, he would say to the class, which would be about 300 students, "If there's anyone here who still believes in God, stand up." In 20 years, he never had a single student, male or female, to stand up. They knew what he was going to do next. They knew the reputation. He would continue, "Because anyone who does believe in God is a fool." How would that make you feel in class? He said if God existed, he would stop this piece of chalk from hitting the ground and breaking. And just as he said that, the chalk fell out of his hand, hit the cuff of his sleeve, hit the pleats of his pants, rolled down, rolled onto a shoe, and rolled onto the floor, unbroken. The professor just looked at the class. And he got up, or standing up, he just headed out of class immediately. He didn't know what to do. A student came forward and spoke to the whole class of 300 about who Jesus is and the relationship he had on a personal basis and the relationship that they could have also. I don't know if anyone responded to that, but they were told. I believe Philip and the eunuch gave us God's plan in witnessing as we listen to the Spirit speaking to us. Listen to what God says and act on it. When God gives you that gentle nudge to speak to someone, go do it. Something miraculous might happen. Listen and act, even if it seems unlikely. The angel led Philip away from a hotbed of witnessing opportunities to go speak to one individual. And that's really the best, one at a time. When you get the opportunity, ask some thought-provoking questions. All Philip asked was what God gave him. Do you understand what you're reading? So simple. Dr. Waylon Moore encourages us in witnessing never to suppose a negative response when we tell someone about Jesus. But I think that's what most of us do. They're going to laugh at me. They're going to think I'm a Jesus freak or something if I talk about Christ. Listen to them and then answer them with Jesus. You don't have to have all the answers. You only really need one answer, what Christ has done for you. Just listen and tell them about what the Bible says about Jesus, very simply. It says, then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture that he was reading and told the good news about Jesus. Philip hadn't had years of training in school. He was just a common person who had met Jesus. But he knew he had experienced Jesus, so he listened and then testified. The eunuch knew God, but now he knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And don't make it harder than it is. Obviously, Philip told him more specifics than we have recorded, because the hungry eunuch knew enough to ask to be baptized. Maybe he'd heard about John the Baptist doing it. Maybe he had heard that Christians were being baptized in the name of Jesus. But he had faith. And the Bible says that to each one of us is given a measure of faith. We have enough faith within us, implanted in us, to act on that faith. And then when we do, that faith will begin to grow. So let's not add any more to the Scriptures than what is there when we're talking to someone about Christ. And keep at it. Philip had the privilege of baptizing a new Christian, but he didn't get the chance to see the new Christian grow up spiritually. Someone else got that opportunity. And that's okay. Philip just kept on doing what God was calling him to do, preaching Jesus to those persons that he came in contact with, in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. So don't give up. Every day ask God to give you someone to speak to. And be in prayer about that. Be praying for that person if you have the opportunity to know them beforehand. Each morning as you put your spiritual hearing aids in, be sure you turn them up loud enough to actually hear what God is saying to you. And he'll say to you what he said to his son at his baptism. You are my beloved child. With you, I am well pleased. Let's preach Jesus to the world. May God bless you. Amen.